So one of our focuses is to engage with community-based organizations like yours to really help leverage the communication of the information for the benefit of the taxpayers, just kind of like what we're doing today. So I want to thank you for this opportunity to share some of this important news regarding the child tax credit. This is really going to significantly benefit some low and no income families, as I'm sure you already know. So, with that, I want to go ahead and get started, but I can't advance anything here. Hang on, bear with me. Let's see. Okay, there we go. The reason I'm here today is really to talk to you about the advanced payments of the child tax credit and basically to motivate you to share this information that's going to greatly benefit the families in your communities. Although I guess I don't really need to prompt you for that. But as you know, in March, the president signed the American Rescue Plan. And so it included several new relief provisions for taxpayers and their families. It included the third round of the economic impact payments of $1,400. For most taxpayers and their dependent children. And then the rescue plan also included some pretty significant expansions to the child tax credit. So these, of course, were designed to lift millions of American children out of poverty. So let me summarize those for you a little bit. The plan raises the maximum age for qualifying child from 16 to 17. It also increases the maximum credit from 2,000 to 3,000 for children over 5 and under 18, and then to $3,600 for children under 6. And then for taxpayers whose main home is in the United States for more than half of 2021, the plan actually eliminates the maximum refund amount of $1,400 on that additional child tax credit. And it also eliminates the requirement that the taxpayer have a minimum of $2,500 in earned income for the year. So, of course, this means that families with zero income can even get the full child tax credit this year. So that's a big change for this year. And then, of course, probably one of the most important provisions is that it provides for advanced payments of the child tax credit up to 50% of the estimated 2021 credit. And this would be for taxpayers whose main home is in the United States for half of 2021. Okay, so of course, there's basic requirements to get the full benefits in 2021. The taxpayer must have had a main home in the United States for more than half of the year, or file a joint return with a spouse who had a main home in the United States for more than half the year. If these don't apply, then the former rules are going to apply, where that refundable amount of the child tax credit is limited to $1,400, and the taxpayer must have had at least $2,500 in earned income. Also, the taxpayer and the spouse, if they're filing jointly, must have either a Social Security number or an individual taxpayer identification number, and those are commonly referred to as an ITIN. The child tax credit is phased out at certain levels of income, and that's based on filing status. Of course, the low and no income taxpayers generally won't be affected by the phase out. And then finally, the child must be claimed as a dependent by the taxpayer, and that child must have a Social Security number that is valid for work. All right, so as I already mentioned, probably the most important provision is the advanced payments. So here's what you need to know about those. So the payment amounts are based on the qualifying children that are claimed on the 2020 return. And that's if that was filed and processed. And if it wasn't filed, then they look at the 2019 return to determine the eligibility. So the payment is going to be up to $250 a month for each child age 6 to 17, and up to $300 a month for each child under age six. And of course, as you know, they began making the payments July 15th. They will continue making those payments through December 15th. They are direct deposited to a financial account on file with the IRS. Or if there's no account on file, then they're going to send it to the address of record for that taxpayer. Now, prior to sending everything out, we did send letters to over 35 million taxpayers, just advising them that we think that they're eligible for the payments based on their tax return for either 2020 or 2019. And then we were following up with letters estimated their monthly payment amounts. Now, if you haven't looked at IRS.gov, we do have some tools online where taxpayers can do things like determine their eligibility. They can look at some payment history, update financial account information. Some things will be coming along later. You know, it can. They only have certain things that they can do right now. Eventually, folks will be able to update information to kind of fine-tune their payment amounts so that they're a little bit more accurate. So things like their filing status for 2021, you know, maybe folks got divorced or something along those, or married. Their income might have changed. The number of qualifying children, you know, maybe they had a child or adopted a child, and their mailing address. That I believe they can update their bank account information right now if they need to. So stay tuned for some of those changes that'll be coming along. Also, another thing they can do is unenroll from the advance payments and just wait to get the full credit when they file their 2021 return, you know, if they prefer to do it that way. Or maybe they determine that they're really not qualified for the child tax credit in 2021. For example, maybe they're expecting their income to increase significantly for the year. And so that might make them ineligible for the credit, or they might not be able to claim that same child in 2021. So in those cases, they would use that opt-out tool. For most taxpayers who have a 2020 or 2019 return on file, they're not going to need to do anything. They're going to receive those payments automatically. But that now brings me to the focus of what I'm doing here today. So just to kind of give you an idea, we're targeting our outreach efforts to people whose income doesn't meet the filing requirement threshold. We're calling those people non-filers. So for taxpayers who haven't filed a 2020 or 2019 return with their qualifying children, generally they're not going to get that advance payment, or those advance payments, I guess I should say. So what that means is low and no income families without a tax return on file who might qualify, they actually need to do one of two things as soon as they can. And this would be if they didn't use last year's non-filer tool to sign up for the economic impact payments, okay? So they have to either file a 2020 tax return showing qualifying children for 2020, or they can use the new child tax credit non-filer sign-up tool that's available on IRS.gov. And that's basically equivalent to filing a simplified online tax return so that they can show their qualifying children for 2020. Now, if somebody still needs to file, they can still use the online free file providers on IRS.gov. There's also some local IRS volunteer income tax assistance partners that can prepare and file their returns for free, or they might even be able to assist them in using that non-filer sign-up tool. So when they use this tool to file that simplified return, the IRS is also going to, at this time, determine if they're eligible for that third economic impact payment that had to be, you know, you had to file the 2020 return to get that third payment. So if they are eligible, then there's nothing else that they need to do to even get that payment. So they qualify for both the advanced child tax credit payment as well as the third economic impact payment. Okay, so this is a guide. If you haven't seen this before, this is a helpful tool. It's publication 5538, and this is a user guide for the signup tool. So you can download this from irs.gov. So if you're an organization that can help non-filing families use this tool, maybe they don't have internet access or a smartphone or even a computer, you can kind of use this to help walk them through it step by step. It really kind of just outlines the information that they need to get started and how to complete and submit the simplified return for 2020. Now, the IRS has been hosting and has several coming up. These are the Advanced Child Tax Credit Free Tax Prep Days. This is our Child Tax Credit Outreach events. They're going to be held in select cities across the country. This is where our taxpayer assistance centers and some of our key community stakeholders and volunteers actually go out there and help eligible families prepare and file their returns. So you can see the dates are August 20th and 21st and September 10th and 11th. So I've added the cities under each of the dates there for you. More information is going to be forthcoming on the specific dates, times, and locations. So you might want to just keep an eye on irs.gov. I can also send you that information when it's available. Okay, so just to kind of give you an idea of how much money is actually on the table for low and no income family, especially for those who don't file tax returns, as you can see from the chart, the advance payments, along with those three economic impact payments, could actually amount to over $14,000 for a family of two adults and two children in the United States. This amount can really be life-changing, even life-saving for some of our low and no income families. So that's why it's really important that we're out here getting the word out. And we appreciate your help with that as well. So here's my call to action. So we do need your help to get the word out about the advance payments to families in need. If you think about it, the IRS generally can't reach people who aren't on our radar because they don't have tax returns in our system. So we don't know that they would be eligible. So by partnering with you and your organization, we can actually get this information out and help the people who need it the most. So this slide actually shows some examples of the promotional publications that we have available to help share this information. These can be printed and displayed in your offices, used in newsletters, email blasts, social media, posted to your website. We encourage plagiarism, so please take our information and use it as you see fit, just to make sure that the word is getting out there. This slide shows some of our social media messages that we post on, like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So I would encourage you to follow us on any of these platforms and share any relevant messages. Or I can even send you specific messages, or we can create some if you think that, the ones that we have aren't necessarily appropriate for your audiences. I appreciate any opportunity to keep you updated and provide you with the resources that you can use to share with your partners, including things like the posters or flyers, like what I showed on that last slide, social media, free filing information. But one thing, if you haven't seen this, is our comprehensive resource. It's our IRS Toolkit for Partners. This is publication 5537. It is available for download at irs.gov. And the toolkit actually explains how community organizations can partner with the service to help promote the payments, and also how to use the signup tool. It provides various resources, including ready-to-use articles for your newsletters. It has links to help videos that are on YouTube. There's downloadable posters and flyers, social media content, and information for people with no permanent mailing address or financial accounts. We've found that, we need to reach those people as well. So It contains pretty much of the information that you need to promote the credit, but if you'd like to send me an email with your contact information, I can actually add you to a distribution list and keep you updated as to any new products, any new information that might come out, like more specific information about those free tax prep days, or just any new products that we might come out with. So on the last slide, my contact information will be there, my email address. So feel free to send me an email. On another note, I just wanted to ask you to make sure that you're advising your communities to be on the lookout for cons and scams regarding the advance payments and those economic impact payments. The IRS imposters are out there and they're working pretty hard. So, if somebody needs to do something like update their bank account information or something along those lines, they really should go directly to the IRS.gov site, not click on any links that they get by email or text messages or even social media. The IRS does not work that way. We don't initiate contact by email, by text messages, by social media. And we don't request the personal or financial information through those platforms either. It's just simply not secure. So, we just advise everybody to go to IRS.gov directly. And then, of course, speaking of that, you want to be sure to check IRS.gov regularly for the latest information. There's a variety of different resources there, some guidance there. This slide shows that advanced child tax credit payments page, and that contains some of the tools I've already mentioned. It's got the manage payments tool, the non-filers tool right there. Some of the other resources that are available are shown there on the right-hand side of the slide. Some of those e-posters in the toolkit, the ready-to-use articles, the videos, anything that you need is really right there. So take a look at that. And so this is the last slide. This shows my contact information. My email address is there. I really look forward to engaging with you over the coming weeks and months to help spread the word. And I do encourage you to contact us and partner with us on outreach efforts in your communities. Of course, your suggestions and your feedback are always important to us. So please feel free to communicate those with me as well. And keep in mind, I'm available to present information at your meetings and events. So if you wanted to do something like this, feel free to reach out. So with that, please make sure you jot down my contact information. And I want to thank you for your time today. And let's see what we can do for these families who need our help. And just a shout out to Darcy for inviting me to speak with you today. Thank you very much for that. So with that, are there any questions?
Thank you, Lisa. Before we jump to questions, we've been sharing the IRS resources in our biweekly newsletter, and we'll be sharing them again this Friday, but we will send a more comprehensive email to everybody who's on this call today with all the links.
Okay. Would you mind copying me on that?
Sure. Can we share these slides as well?
Sure. I'll send those to you.
Great. I see we have a question from Laura in the chat. Do you have a tip sheet on the fraud alerts?
Let me look at that. If we do, I'll send it to Darcy and she can get it out to everybody. Although we do have a lot of different identity theft and scam pages on IRS.gov. So if we don't have anything specific to the credits, I can send you links to some of that information as well, because that's always good to have too.
I see Nancy in the chat asks, are these materials multilingual?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that. Yeah. A lot of our materials are in, of course, Spanish, but we've worked really hard to get them translated into traditional Chinese, simplified Chinese, Russian. I think there's about 8 languages that some of them, not all, but some of them are available in several different languages. So you can find those on our website on the Advanced Child Tax Credit Resources page.
Thank you. We're actually getting a few questions in the chat. Actually, Lisa, would you mind stop sharing?
Oh, sure. So we can see everyone. No problem.
So Janice said, is there any alternative to the portal to change your CTC payments as the site is not necessarily very user-friendly?
Yeah, so there's supposed to be a phone number on the letter that you receive that gives you the option to call that to do something like opt out. But from what I understand, those letters have not contained a phone number. So hang in there. We will be issuing some additional information. Of course, you know, we've got lots of challenges right now with staffing and with trying to make sure everybody gets their refunds from last year and gets their advanced credits and their EIPs. And so we are really super, super stretched then, especially still operating under COVID restrictions. So hang in there with me. I know that it's been a struggle and people, you know, I mean, it's hard to tell people to be patient when they need the money, but that's really what we're having to do.
I want to stop my video. There we go.
Great. And Mira said, has anyone successfully navigated the process to delay the advance payments? I suppose that's for Lisa or anybody else in the group.
I know that there have been people that have successfully done it, but I don't know if you all have some examples yourselves. Anybody speak up if you can.
Okay. Not in this group. We know it's happened. Maybe not. Maybe yeah. Not in this group.
Has anybody tried and not been successful? Let's put it that way. Okay. All right. So yeah, that's.
We tried and it was not. You had to do this ID.me.
Yeah.
And I mean, we managed to get up to that step with like a high-tech tripod holding someone's phone in order to get the picture to do the face recognition. And that was like with, you know, an organization's equipment, not something that right. anybody that's going to be using these, you know, needing to navigate would have in their home.
But did that get you through then, or did it?
I think that the person who was doing it, we were in a meeting. And so like one of us just tried to opt out so we could see if it was something we could suggest to families who maybe didn't need the money right away and wanted to, you know, not have it as, you know, be used for incidentals. So right. we didn't want to encourage people to delay the payments towards a goal if it wasn't user-friendly to delay. And at that point, once the person got to that point, he chickened out because like it makes it so scary, the language to go through that process got us a little squeamish. Hmm. So we stopped at that point, but even to get to that point, it took him 45 minutes.
I wow. can jump in. I was actually able, I tested it out on myself and I was able to get into the portal through my phone, actually. The mobile way to go through it to do the ID.me actually worked better than doing it through my computer. So I don't know if that's helpful. If people have a smartphone, I was able to access my own information and I could have chosen to opt out because I actually qualified personally.
Did you have an ID.me account previously?
No, I had to set it all up and had to do like take the video of your face to do the to prove my identity. I had to upload a photo of my driver's license. Like it did take 15 minutes to get through. It was a long process, but it didn't work on my computer. I did it on my phone. So that was kind of weird.
Well, right. And I know that there's several of you that are from California. I understand that California uses the ID.me in a lot of their agencies. Did anybody else already have an account with ID.me? No. Okay. Just curious, because I know I work with several people in California that said that. Okay.
For divorced parents, is the tax credit sent to the parent who has claimed the child on the 2020 return?
So they're basing it on if they weren't divorced and they were married and filing joint in 2020. Is that the question? Yes, I'm assuming.
Oh, so that was my question too, actually. So I'm just working with someone who this applies to, where they are already filing separately. So they alternate who claims the child as a dependent. So I'm confused if it's based off 2020, but then in 2021, if they file and they switch,
right,
does that change where the credit goes?
Well, so what's going to happen is, so let's say the father claimed the child in 2020, but the mother gets the child in 2021. Is that what you're talking about? Okay.
Yes.
So what's going to happen is the father is going to get the advance payments in 2020 or in 2021, because it's based on 2020. Mm-hmm. If he's not eligible for that, he should be going in to opt out of those payments. And then the mother should be going in and updating once the portal is available to update your filing status, your dependents, that kind of thing. She can go in there then and update that. Now, that part of the portal isn't going to be available till probably late summer, early fall. So hopefully sometime next month, I'm hoping that it'll be up at that point. So of course, yes, they're missing out on some of these payments.
Okay.
But it's possible that they'll get caught up before the end of the year.
In that case, won't the father have to pay back the part that he got?
Correct. And so that, I think, was probably one of the reasons that they sent those letters out in advance to all those people saying, we think that you're eligible for this, because that gives the people the chance to say, no, I don't think I am eligible for this because I don't have any dependents for this year. But that's another message that we need to get out to people, that if you're not going to be eligible, because we don't want people to be surprised and have to pay it back.
That's actually, thank you, Lisa, and thank you, Laura, for asking that question. I was on a call earlier today with several national organizations who are working to get the word out about the child tax credit, and there are a variety of issues and complications, some of which have been listed in the chat and some of which we had just discussed, but one is related to child custody and the messaging being unclear, and so just so everyone knows, as national organizations, we're going to be communicating those issues to the Treasury Department and the White House, asking for some fixes. But in the meantime, I'm thrilled that Lisa, you were here to be able to answer that question. And that is something, as we message to clients, to make sure that people understand that they need to be aware of whether they have custody when they're claiming those credits.
And related to that, there's also unresolved issues around domestic violence survivors who are in unresolved custody cases and still in family court, that we understand from the National DV Network, and through Darcy's been tracking this for us as well, that the administration and the Treasury Department are aware of this, but we don't, unless Lisa knows more, I have not heard that there's any resolution yet around disputed custody for DV survivors and what that's gonna mean.
No, I'm not aware of anything that's been resolved at this point. And I know it is a big issue and we've identified it numerous times ourselves. So that is something that they need to continue working on.
Thank you. So I'd love to turn to Nancy's presentation to talk about outreach. Lisa, are you able to stay on with us?
Yes, I would love to.
Questions?
Okay, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Nancy, take it away.
Thank you, Darcy, and everyone at NJHSA. I'm really lucky to be here today and joined by your co-chair, who is my partner and friend in crime, Jen Glazer. And so please know that I may turn to her for some fill-in, but also that anything I'm talking to you about, these are things that she and I have talked about as well. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm the Public Policy and Strategic Initiatives Director at JFSLA. And so I do our local, state, and federal outreach on behalf of JFS programs and clients. I'm a member of the NJHSA Advocacy Committee and work closely with our clinical side to help make sure that our clients have the information so that they get whatever benefits they are entitled to. And so when the child tax credit information became available after it had passed into law, we had started conversations about how do we get this information out? Because as we all know, income supports, straight cash supports are incredibly important to all of our clients. And so we had started thinking about how could we get this out? And I really have to thank Jen on this because she and I had a call. We had several emails, but then we had a couple calls talking about it. And she really framed it, if I may speak for you for a second, Jen, that because we had a robust outreach around the census and voter engagement, we're using a lot of the same tools and systems that we had already set up from those efforts. And so I don't know, Jen, if you want to talk about what you're doing specifically through Central Access, or if you want first, or if you want me to talk about what we're doing sort of agency-wide and then have you fill in.
Agency-wide.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we've been doing, and I've been working with the tools provided by the IRS, the tools provided by the administration, what's come out from NJHSA. And the other place I've been working with is we have a really fantastic relationship with several of our members of Congress, but one in particular, Tony Cardenas. His district includes one of our food pantry sites. And it's an office that we have an ongoing working relationship with. And they had sent an email out to their constituent list with information about the child tax credit and how to track it. And so we reached out to them and said, hey, we really like what you're doing. Can we get a copy of it? And so Friday morning, like 4 days ago, I stopped by their office and they had printed out 500 copies of a English one side, Spanish the other side, color information about the child tax credit that is going to go in every single bag of groceries that's provided in the month of August through the JFS SOVA food pantry. In addition, so what we've been trying to do is look at all of the touch points across the agency where we interact with families who have children. And how can we get the information to the parents, either through the children or through the parents, about the child tax credit, and then figure out how to help them apply, which is really where I'm going to defer to Jen on, because we've been trying to figure out how we get them informed and then how we get people signed up. So in addition to, we decided the month of August is Child Tax Credit Outreach Month. So every bag of grocery in August, which goes out, will include the flyer. We also have something called Tools for School, which is a backpack program for kids who are getting ready to start the school year. We are including a copy of the same English and Spanish flyer in every single backpack that goes out, as well as in the notice to every parent that is being sent out, letting them know that Tools for School is available. And so we are trying to hit it that way. We also have worked with our domestic violence program, which is JFS Hope, which I mentioned earlier, and the case managers at JFS Hope all have received the information. So all of the parents who are coming through either the Hope Counseling Center or through Hope Shelter, the Hope Transitional Shelter, all of the case managers and social workers have that information as well. And then of course, Jen and her teams have all of the information and are able to share it with their clients. And then what we are talking about doing as a next step is that Jen and I are going to arrange for me to do a briefing at her staff meetings and at several other staff meetings across the agency with direct service staff. What is the child tax credit? How do you apply? How can our clients benefit from it? And using this variety of information to make sure that no matter which piece of the agency is touching a child, if they have an eligible parent, that they are getting the information about it. And so we are trying to do that. The other piece, Lisa, I don't think you mentioned this, but if you have children who are documented of undocumented parents, they are also eligible, and there is a way for them to apply as well. So we want to make sure that all of the immigrant families that we're serving are also aware of this information and have access to the benefits. Jen, you want to hop in on sort of where it goes when someone actually calls?
Yeah, I mean, I think central access is the main way to access all the programs at JFS and also provides support at the food pantries. So for us, it's educating the staff, making sure they understand how you qualify, similar to what we had here today, and then having them review their caseloads and making sure we've been navigating, as I'm sure all of you have been, various programs, cash assistance programs, making sure people apply for the stimulus. So similar to that, areas of challenge as I listen to this presentation also is we generally don't go online and apply for people. We work with partners, we facilitate, we will help people apply themselves. So I'm already thinking through, you know, we'll have a few and we'll figure it out, but that's more challenging in terms of actually going on the site on behalf of someone else. The social workers are picking us up pretty quickly because we're getting in a good way used to different things coming up, including things LA specific. And this one's much easier in some ways because you don't have to affirmatively necessarily get it unless you didn't get the other thing. So we're identifying people who might qualify and helping them through. The Food and Resource Center, we're gonna have to do some more outreach because they will get the flyers, and we just want to make sure all the volunteers, and we used to meet one-on-one, it's a little different. We definitely want to do some outreach throughout August so that people understand what it is, and it's a bigger volume, and we can then hands-on with the volunteers or with the social worker, make sure they know. Certain people are very aware, and they'll always apply for things, so you want to get the people who might walk in and out and not ask. So that's always the challenge, because I think, Nancy, how many people go there a month between?
So total service is just under 6,000 a month. About 22% are under 18. So it's and another round numbers are 22%-ish on our older adults. So however you do math, don't ask me to do math on the run. 78% are adults or
people. We want to make sure. Yeah, and we do have mixed status, right? I don't know if we have, I doubt we have that information, but making sure people feel comfortable asking questions and can apply. So we may partner with someone who could be hands-on helping people apply. We may do it ourselves. We'll have to see in the next couple of weeks.
The other thing is that this question of who's helping them fill out the forms, the VITA tax people, and some of the other, I know that we reached out to Bates Sedek, which is one of our legal services partner, to see if they're helping. And that seems to be the question that I'm hearing most often, both within the JFS groups, and I was on a different call an hour ago with a statewide anti-poverty coalition. And that is one of the questions. There is this training and resources for navigators, the information that the IRS is putting out, the White House is putting out, lots of our colleagues are putting out, but it's not clear if there are enough resources yet to help people fill out the actual forms. So if for those of you who have tax partners, it might be worth reaching out to them and finding out if they're doing this, if they're available, and how you can do that. Because I do think it's one of the places that we're seeing and hearing about a gap. And Lisa Novak can cover ears, but you all are right. The non-filer tool is really hard. It's a great idea. We're really grateful it exists, but it's not consumer friendly. And it's unlikely to become consumer friendly. And so I'm not telling our very helpful partner from the IRS this, but it's really not consumer friendly. So thank you so much for doing it, but it does present a challenge, particularly for our multilingual or non-English speaking clients, because
we have some clients with literacy issues as well. I'm sure other people do as well.
Right, which is why
I assume, Lisa, there's no phone number where you can do this. Is that right?
Not at this point, no, unfortunately.
And that's obviously an issue with non-filers and hard-to-reach filers.
So there is a phone number that's out there on the internet. But basically, I think if you call that number, it's just a recording because there's so many people calling it and it's not.
We do a lot of joint calls with people where we're there with them, and that's effective with Social Security. We've done that with Medicare, and we're able to do that kind of thing. And then the client's still on the line understanding what they're doing, but they have someone with them. So that's sort of a more effective if it's available, but it sounds like it's not at this point.
Yeah, not at this point.
The other thing people can do is call your member, is work with your members of Congress. So I mentioned Congressmember Cardenas because he's one of probably three we're working with very closely on child tax credit. And their flyers say call their office if you have a problem. Because for those of you who have not seen my advocacy training recently, although Leah could give the same training because she and I have done this together. Every congressional offices have a back channel to every government agency, including the IRS and the Treasury Department. They have a dedicated liaison who works with congressional offices. And I think Jen will tell you that we've been relatively successful on other issues. I don't know about CTC because I don't think we've done it yet. But on other issues where we've run into problems, connecting with our local members to help provide our clients with resources to solve their problems. And of course, I'm going to make a pitch for the advocacy committee and NJHSA's work, because building these relationships on client services also helps us make policy change and helps them understand the problems when we run into them.
And I didn't say this, but that is a good channel for you to use. Because when IRS gets those congressional inquiries, somebody has to address it very quickly. So that is a good channel. That's probably the best channel you'll have, honestly. But I didn't say that.
I did. I said it. You know, blame it on me completely. But it is something, and if you need help doing that, I'm sure Darcy can help. I can help people figure it out. If you've got, you know, there's several people on this call who I know, or who is colleagues I know. And I think Jen would agree. It's been a really great resource for us.
I think one of the things just on, in terms of, we were talking about this, this reminds us a little, and I know every state doesn't have the Medi-Cal expansion or Medicaid expansion, but when we had that, I don't know how many years ago, 8, 10, it was that same thing with staff too, making sure everyone really understands what can happen for a client and how beneficial it is. So that in terms of engaging with our teams and explaining people can actually get a check, that was a big part of when people came in, even if they weren't looking for health insurance, once it became open to everyone, just making sure everyone who's in touch with the client understands, look to see if they have kids and ask this question. So I think for us that this was helpful, Nancy, I think you brought it up first, you know, in the midst of everything saying, oh, this is a big deal. This is really helpful. And highlighting it across the agency when there's so much going on in addition to this.
Yeah, you know, I think, Jen, that's a really huge point to stress with social workers, because this is not like the stimulus payment, which was a one-time blip that comes maybe, you know, here and there. This is going to be something that the clients can budget for because it's a monthly payment, and they could add this to their own budgeting process that the agency social workers, you know, and case managers could do with them. You know, this is really not like blip, like surprise money that's dependent on what happens, you know, in DC. This is really something they could budget for.
That's right. And we're advocating for it to be extended after 1 year. So hopefully they would be able to budget for it moving forward.
It'll be easier in a year.
Right. That could be one of my arguments for advocating. This makes it easier for people to budget, which is real. Nancy and Jen, thank you so much. You know, we only have, you know, we have a few minutes left. I'd love, I mean, if anyone has questions, please feel free to ask, but I'd also love to hear from our participants if they have any successful strategies that they've been using that they'd like to share with the group.
Has anyone been promoting it in their agencies before now? So what has someone done? Laura, you about ready to say something?
Yeah, we've been promoting it, getting the information out and pushing out the non-filer, really making sure people understand that. So we've done some similar things, and I picked up some new ideas as well today of integrating it into our access center so that we're sort of giving an advertisement as people call in for other services. We say, oh, and by the way, you know, did you receive your tax credit, or, you know, do you need to know how to do the non-filer? And just kind of building that into all of our new requests for any services. And we've done that with our food pantry bags before in getting out information about vaccines and other things. So I love that idea of putting that in here. And New Jersey also passed a really progressive sick leave law a year or so ago, and we helped the Department of Labor push that information out. I think also, you know, whoever is doing the constituent services at our representative offices, sometimes letting them know how well it's going to can be helpful. You know, laying the groundwork for, you know, their support and understanding of the impact. So that's the only other thought that I had. Thank you for all the great work everyone's doing and the ideas.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. As I mentioned, we'll be sharing the IRS resources. We'll be sharing the White House resources. Are there other resources, aside from navigators, are there other resources that would be helpful to you all as you do your outreach? Okay, well, we'll be happy to continue sharing anything we receive and develop. With that, I think we're nearing our time. If anybody has a question, feel free to ask, but otherwise I will turn it back over to Rebecca.
Everyone, if you do have a question, go ahead and unmute, but otherwise we just wanna thank you all so, so much for this incredible presentation. It was so insightful, informative, and just really important reminder that reach out to Lisa, reach out to Darcy if you have any questions, reach out, and I'm sure you can be in touch with the follow-up information. We just wanna again, thank you all so very, very much for your wisdom and your expertise.
And I appreciate everything you all have been doing to promote this as well. That really helps us out a lot. Mm-hmm. So thank you for all your efforts.
Yep, and while we still have everybody on, we just want to tell you that we do have a pop-up coming up. So we would love to see you in 22 days from now on the 25th at 3 p.m. We are having a pop-up on case management recording techniques, and we will have Victoria Pivnik from the JFS of LA and Amy Walensky from JFCS Boston. They'll be presenting, but we would love for everybody to come. You asked and we answered that if you are interested in hearing how others are doing what they do, we would love for you to come and join our pop-up. Lisa will send out that link, the registration link for that shortly.
Yep, next week probably.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Well, thank you all for coming. And hopefully we'll see some of you in the end of August. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Darcy. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Ruben. Bye, everyone.
Bye, thank you, Lisa. Bye.